It's good to see everyone here tonight. We know we have some that are in the rear. They're doing last leaders, so we're thankful for that. And on tonight, we're wanting to really just have an opportunity to read some scripture, discuss them some, but also have an opportunity to go to God in prayer. And I've asked a couple of brothers to prepare their hearts for prayer, and I'll ask for more because you can never approach God enough in prayer. And let us turn to the book of Matthew. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount pretty much all day. That's not a bad thing, you know, to look at the greatest preacher that has ever walked the face of the earth in the person of Jesus Christ and the beautiful words that he uttered to the Father in teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 8 through verse number 15 on prayer. And when we talk about his disciples, we're talking about those Galilean Jews that he was talking to, the multitude, if you will. And it's interesting that he demonstrates to them how to approach the Father and how to talk to the Father and the things that we ought to talk to him about, if you will. And if you will, look at verse number 8. Therefore, do not be like them, talking about the hypocrites, talking about those who pray, yet they're not praying the right way. They're not praying with the right heart, the right motives. They are saying things in repetition. And he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, meaning petition God, to go to God with your words, with your thoughts, with your mind. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So many things in these particular passages from the words of Jesus that are worthy of our consideration. First of all, we know that prayer is directed to the Father. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Number two, we see how Jesus calls the Father hallowed, or hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. But it's interesting, of course, him being able to say this before the kingdom actually came, because he came preaching the kingdom, Mark 1, 14 and 15. And so we know that we're in the kingdom today, according to Colossians 1, 13, but also according to passage just left me. What passage am I looking for? What am I thinking about? It is Colossians 1:13. Let's look at that real quick. That's the passage. There's something else I was thinking about too. Colossians 1 and verse number 13. It's definitely that one. Notice this particular passage. I know what I was thinking. I was thinking about Revelation 1. I believe it's verse number 2 or 3. Peyton, get Revelation 1. It's either 2 or 3. It's one of those passages where it talks about John. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. There the Bible records for us, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. One translation, I believe, says translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we know that the kingdom is on earth. We know that we're in the kingdom even today, because he's talking about two different kingdoms there. And there's a kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of the Son of his love. What passage was that? Did you find it? Revelation 1.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one you
referenced. 1:9. All right, sorry about that. 1:9. What does that say, Peyton?
I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island of Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
All right, good, good. So we know that John was in the kingdom. And so the very fact that John was in the kingdom, we know that the kingdom has come, and John was in it. And the way that you get into the kingdom is the same way you get into the church, because they're one in the same. And so going back to Matthew chapter 5, as we look at some other things in this prayer, very powerful ideas that we see here. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That ought to give us great encouragement, because we know that God's will is done in heaven and it must be done on earth. And so whatever God's will is in heaven, of course, that's his business. And we know that the heavenly host is doing his will. And when that does not happen, we know that they sin. Angels can sin. And we know that the angels that sinned against God was cast to Tartarus, 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. And so we know that God's will must be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we can know what the will of the Lord is, according to Ephesians 5 and verse number 17. And so we have to understand what the will of the Lord is and do that, and do that. And so Jesus in his prayer has some things that are very powerful here. But notice what he says. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why? Notice how Jesus quotes from 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 11. He quotes from 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 11. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so there are many things that we see here, and God's kingdom is a glorious kingdom. It's a powerful kingdom. And when we stop and think about that, this prayer ought to teach us to be very reverent when we go to God, when we're thinking about what we ought to be praying for as well. I do want to call on a few. I want to ask Brother Larry, if he doesn't mind, and I'm going to call on other brethren, that we begin our thought process toward the new year. And when we think about this, these are things that we always do, make New Year's resolutions, and that's fine. But when we think about our prayer life, and of course, it's probably the most neglected privilege we have as the people of God, that we don't go to God enough in prayer. And I know for a fact that we can do a better job as a congregation of going to God in prayer together and having opportunities to just pray. You know, we have an opportunity to just sing to the Lord, and it's a beautiful thing when we do that. And maybe we need to consider that as well as relates to prayer. So I'm going to ask Brother Larry to come forth and to offer a word of prayer of thanksgiving unto our Father on behalf of the congregation, if you don't mind, Brother Larry.
Could you bow with me, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have come back together for a second time today to worship you on this day that some people call Christmas, Father, but we come to worship you in spirit and truth, Father, whether it be the day they call Christmas or not. Father, we don't know when your son was born. It's not really important, but we know that he was born, and we celebrate Luke 2 when the angel announced his great birth. It's a beautiful passage. Father, we thank you this evening for 9th and Main, for the elders, their wives and deacons and servants, song leaders, all of those who serve this congregation, and our visitors as well. We pray, Father, that you'll help us as we study prayer tonight. Help us to be more mindful to pray often, Lord. I know that I need to do that. And we need to pray more often all throughout the day, maybe every night, day and night, more often. Help us, Father, we pray. Help us study the scriptures more to make sure that we're right with you in light of your word. Thank you for every good thing you've given us. Thank you most of all for your son, who was your perfect, sinless Lamb of God, Father, who came into this world, left heaven, came into this world, suffered and died for our sins. We're glad he rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father. Lord, be with us tonight as we continue. We pray for those that are traveling that are not able to be here. Be with the sick and the afflicted, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, you can never go to God enough in prayer. And there are a few things that I want to point out in this prayer, and then we're going to transition to Acts chapter 4. And we'll notice some things in that particular text. But take notice in verse number 9. In verse number 9, God is our focus. And these are some of the things that I wrote in my Bible that I thought was pretty good. Heaven is his location. Hallowed is his essence. His kingdom come. Kingdom are his subjects. Of course, future and scope. Your will be done. Those are his desires. On earth as it is in heaven, that is the arena of God's will being done. Give us this day our daily bread, his provisions. Forgive us our debts, his beauty. It's a beautiful thing to know that debts can be forgiven. Lead us not into temptation, his direction. Deliver us from the evil one, his joy. It's a joy to know that you can be delivered from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, his power, the power, his might, his glory, honor, and rule. I know I went through those pretty fast. If I need to go over again, y'all need me to go through them again, I'll do that. So, of course, the Father, our focus, heaven, his location, hallowed his essence. Your kingdom come, subjects, your will be done, his desires on earth as it is in heaven, his arena, the earth is Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, his provisions. Forgive us our debts, his beauty. Do not lead us into temptation, his direction. Deliver us from the evil one, his joy. For yours is the kingdom. I think that's where I put his rule. Power, his might, and the glory, his honor. So I wanted to give y'all those. I thought those were pretty beautiful. Some things that I picked up over the years that I believe are beneficial. Acts chapter 4. And I want Brother Scott to start preparing his mind. Brother Daniel, prepare your mind for this prayer here. And, sir.
One quick application.
Yes, sir.
From Matthew 6 is when he's teaching them.
Yes, sir.
Using plurality, using us, we, that connotation. And a lot of times we pray individually, we're using I. And for men, sometimes we forget that when we get up to lead a public prayer.
That's a great point.
And we lead a public prayer in a singular fashion. But Christ has shown here it's a plural fashion.
Amen. Thank you. Great observation. Yes, sir.
And lead us not into temptation.
Yes, sir.
God is so good, he wouldn't.
That's right. One thing that God does, he tests us. He doesn't tempt us. Anybody remember where that is? James 1. That's right. James 1, 12 through 14. That's right. Good. Anyone else? All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through verse number 31. 23 through 31. As I was pondering some of these thoughts and thinking about some things that we can be praying for, that we should be praying for. And one of the things that I know that we can pray more for is boldness, courage, confidence. And so I'll ask Brother Daniel to ready his mind after we get through talking about this. So Starting at verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions. Can anybody give me a quick summation? What's going on in this context? What's going on? It's dealing with Peter and John. What's going on? Anybody remember? Yes, Leon.
They had just got out of, prison.
Okay.
And then they were going back to all the people that they were hanging around with at that time.
Okay.
Because they just wanted to, go tell them what had happened to them.
Okay.
And then they're about to pray. And this is a good one because I was talking with Brother Tobias about this. About using scripture and prayer, but not saying Hebrew something like that, just saying the words, because you'll see them using scripture in this.
That's right. Yeah. Excellent point. Tobias?
So I thought that's where they had healed the guy. Thy servant go, I have none, I give him to thee. Is that where they
healed the guy? The man that at the gate called Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
They were arrested.
Okay.
Kind of interesting. They get arrested for preaching. And just as soon as they can get out, they go right back to preaching.
So they got arrested for performing this miracle, and then they spend a little bit of time in jail, of course, and the next thing you know, they're getting out, metaphorically speaking, and they go back to their people. And then they go back to preaching. Well, let's make a little point here. Notice in verse number 23 again, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to who? To God. With one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. This is where Leon makes an excellent point that in prayer, they're using scripture. They're using scripture. And our prayers ought to have scripture in them. Our prayers should have scripture in them. Why did the heathen raise? He goes back to Psalm 2. And the people plot vain things. The kings of the earth took their stand. And the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all what? With all boldness, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I think the King James rendering says your holy what? Holy child. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What do we learn from this prayer? There are a few things. What are some things that come to mind?
God heard them and he answered them.
God heard them, God answered them. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Tobias.
These are apostles filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet they're still asking for boldness. It shows me not that we're not, given the same charge. So there are going to be times when I'm fearful. There are going to be some things I'm fearful to do. But I need to be like the apostles and pray for boldness to do it. And boldness isn't the fear being gone. It's the fear being there, but you're doing it anyway.
That's right.
So this teaches me that there are some things even the apostles were afraid to do, but they prayed to do it anyway.
That's right. Good. Anyone else? What are some things? Yes, ma'am.
Against the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are being against the Lord Jesus Christ, and stand up for him.
lives. And the people that they actually brought up are those who are in some type of authority. And they were asking for strength and boldness against that authority. Why? Because the authority of God supersedes any authority on the earth. Anyone else? Great point. What else? What else can we learn? How can we apply this today? And what type of boldness should we have today? I know we should. Anyone? Sir?
It's hard sometimes just to talk to people, you know, and start a conversation.
So we ought to be praying. So we ought to be praying for boldness, just to have the courage to speak, huh? Anyone else? I have a follow-up question to that. That's a good point. Anyone else?
2 Corinthians 10. Verses 2 and 5. Verse 2 says, "But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." And he says, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." But verse 5, what that intends in being bold is casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience. So that's what we're supposed to be doing, or that's what will happen if we are bold, in spiritually speaking.
Okay, good, good, good. Yes, Leon.
I see Ephesians 3:12.
Okay.
It says, "In whom we have," talking about Jesus, "is the in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." So, like, we have, you know, access to confidence and stuff like that, to just know that the word that we are speaking is the truth. You know, John 17:17. And if we can just, like, just believe it. Because sometimes I'll be reading and then I'm like, I'm not giving really a thought to it. But you gotta, like, just focus on it and just let everything.
Leon, you make an excellent point. To be able to study something, to know it, but to believe it. When you actually believe what the scripture says, then you can proceed with boldness. Not arrogance, but boldness. You know this is what the scriptures say. And so when I'm talking with anyone, especially when I'm dealing with situations where you have opposition, you can stand. And it doesn't matter if it's a slew of people around you. That does not matter. Peyton, when you know a subject, does it matter how many people are against you? It doesn't matter. That's how we ought to be. It doesn't matter how many people stand against us. I think it's Proverbs 16 and verse number 8 or 9. Proverbs 16, 8 or 9. Is it it? Is that right? What does that say? That's a good passage, but that's not it. No, you're good. Where is it?
Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say? These things, if God is for us, who can be against us?"
That's right. That's right. Proverbs 16:5. Proverbs 16:5. "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." The evil, the wicked, can join forces against the powers of God all they want to. We stand with Jehovah. As long as our hands are in the hand of God, Brother Royce, we win. Going back to what Brother Payton just brought out. And so Romans 8, verse number 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who?" And remember, we always like to flip that around. If we're against God, who? If we're against God, who can be for us? No one. It doesn't matter how many people we join forces with. Anyway, going back to the boldness point, they were bold. And they were praying for boldness, and that's what we ought to be praying for. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, Are we praying for that, Brother Royce?
This is just maybe an example of boldness. And I don't know what the woman is, truly religious, I don't know. There's a woman over in the UK that was arrested for standing across the street from an abortion clinic, praying silently. And she wouldn't quit, and so they arrested her. That's boldness. I mean, she was doing nothing wrong except for praying. And that's the kind of boldness that we need to have, regardless of what consequence might come our way.
That's right.
If we're doing God's will,
that's right,
we're keeping God's commandments, we need to keep on with that same kind of boldness and strength that says, whatever happens, happens, but I'm going to be God's servant.
That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Who else?
Look at the, you know, historical nature there. We're looking back at them and the things that they struggled through and gained strength through that. But they're doing the same thing in prayer. They're looking back at what Jesus went through and endured and remembering those things. And so it can help us to remember we're not alone in any of that. None of that's new.
That's right.
It's all been gone through before.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Yes, sir.
I've always read this as Lord, give me the confidence. Give me the strength to overcome my fear, the boldness to speak. You know, in Matthew 7:13,
right,
it talks about no one spoke openly of Jesus because of fear of the Jews.
Right.
You know, these people, they know they're going to be persecuted.
That's good.
Give me the strength to speak up.
That's right. And what else? Yes.
I know that this passage is talking about boldness in speech, but I really feel like we need boldness in action too. I mean, it's amazing how simple or how quiet it could be to just not do the things that God says and blend right in with the rest of the world. Sometimes boldness is doing the will of God openly.
That's right.
And that's loud enough.
The disciples, the apostles, rather, could have easily saw this man at the gate called Beautiful, looked at him, and kept walking. But they healed him by the power of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up, walk. And they did that knowing that this was by the power of Jesus Christ. And they even said, why you look at us as if it was our own power that did this? They could have easily just kind of left that alone, but they didn't. And so that's the boldness that we need to continue to have, and we need to pray for more. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. And it may come across as if we're a little too strong sometimes. Don't worry about that. You be humble. You do what God says. God will take care of the rest. Brother Daniel, you don't mind. Come and pray for us in this manner as well.
Would you pray with me? Almighty and just Father in heaven, we come to you just now thanking you, Father, for all that you do for us. Father, thanking you for this class time that we have, Father, to learn more of thy will, Father, to discuss prayer, Father, and the importance of it. We thank you, Father, for this avenue in which we have to come to you, Father, to petition you and to make our needs and wants known to you, Father. Father, just now we ask that you would be with us as we end this year, Father, as we enter into a new year. Father, we pray that we would each look to you for guidance, Father, that we would have the strength, Father, to put on the whole armor of God, Father, as we go about our day-to-day lives, whether it be, Father, in school or whether it be in the work week, Father. We pray that we would all have the courage, Father, to stand up for what is right. We know, Father, that in this world that we're living in, Father, it just seems like there's so much evil, Father. We pray that we would always stand up for you, Father. We pray that we would let no man tar your name, Father. We pray that we would have the boldness to speak up, Father, to call sin for what it is. We pray that we would always be a shining light for you, Father. We pray that as we live our lives, that all of those around us would see the light within us, Father. We pray that through that would pique their interest, Father, to question us why, Father, and that we would have the answer for them. We pray that we would always study thy will, Father, and we would always be able to show ourselves approved. We ask, Father, that you would continue to be with Brother Mike as he labors here, that he would always continue to have that boldness, Father, to speak out, to teach the truth, Father, but not only him, but all of those others, Father, that preach here and that preach elsewhere, Father. We pray that they always have the strength to preach, Father, but to always preach the truth, Father, that they never stray from it. Heavenly Father, we love you. And again, we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, and Father, for the example that he was for us. We pray that we would strive to be more like him in all that we do. In his name we pray. Amen.
In 1 John 5:13 and 14, or 1 John 5:14, there's an interesting passage there. John, our brother, has something very powerful to say. And I often go to this passage in my mind. It helps me and it centers me, if I can say it that way. Now this, verse 14, 1 John 5, is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what's the rest? He hears us. Now, I think I can say this about y'all. It's a beautiful thing to know God hears you. And unfortunately, we live in a world, especially in Christendom, where people believe God hears them, whether they're in the good graces, in his good graces or not. And that's sad. And the reason why, well, let me ask, why is that sad? Why is it sad that people believe that God hears them even though they're not faithful? Why is that sad? Say again?
Because it's false.
Because it's false. It's deception. When you really believe the God of heaven is listening to you, but he's not. I've told people, God doesn't hear Christians when they're not faithful. Where do we go to prove that? Do anybody remember? Yes.
1 John 1:7-15.
All right, but there's a clearer passage than that. Anybody remember?
1 John 9:31.
All right, that's more of the center. Look at 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12. And whoever gets that, let's read that. But then we're going to go straight to Ephesians chapter 3. Because if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, God's will is for all men to be saved, to live moral, righteous, holy lives. 1 Peter 3:12. Who has that?
For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
True. So if a child of God turns their back on God, a child of God does not want to listen to God by being obedient, God doesn't hear them. until they turn, until they repent. Even in the marital relationship, when a husband won't treat his wife correctly, even his prayers are what? They're hindered. It's the truth there. God says they're halted. They're halted, which makes sense. But go to Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, for some reason, as I study the book of Ephesians and I get to this prayer right here, and I contemplated looking at John 17. Brother Dennis actually dealt with that on last week during the Lord's Supper. Was that last week, Dennis, you did the Lord's Supper? I believe it was last week. Excellent, excellent points that were made in John 17. And John 17 literally preaches itself. It's hard to mess up John 17. And Ephesians 3, verse 14 through the end of the chapter is the same way. I see it the same way. Because notice what he says. And Brother Scott, I want you to ready your mind for this idea here. And I won't speak that long on this. For this reason. Now, what was Paul just talking about? The Jew and Gentile relationship, Ephesians 2. Going into Ephesians 3, he's talking about this great mystery. What great mystery? The church. And so all of that magnificent work that God did, for what purpose? To bring the church so the Jews and the Gentiles could cohabitate together in one location called the body, called the church, where there was no more separation. Why? Because Jesus Christ broke down that middle wall of partition that was between them. And so he's thanking God. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, notice, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where? In the inward man, the inner man. If you're taking notes, you can put Romans chapter 7 and verse number 12 there, I believe. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Notice how Christ literally dwells in man's heart through faith. Faith coming by hearing, what's the rest? Hearing by the word of God. So we know that Christ dwells in the hearts of the child of God through the word of God, by faith. That you, notice the language he uses, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, meaning all around. Where am I? Thank you. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled, literally in the Greek, filled to the full with all the fullness of God. Filled to the full? We can be filled to the full with the fullness of God? The answer is absolutely. I would equate this to having the abundant life, being filled to the full with the word of God, with the benefits of God. And so he's praying to the Father. Now notice, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. One thing that I've learned over the years, and I'm pretty sure y'all can elaborate on this, you have to watch what you think. Now, usually we'll say that in the negative connotation, the negative idea. But I'm going to put this in the positive connotation. God can do more than we ask or think, even in our minds. We just think about it, and God knows what we're thinking. Might not even come out of our mouths. I was talking to a good brother one time, and he was telling me some things that he wanted years ago, and I reminded him of that. And I said, you got to be careful what you even think, because God gives us the desires of our hearts, especially if it's according to his will. Especially if it's according to his will. The question is, are we ready to accept what God is ready to grant us? One time, my father said, you better watch what you pray for. You might get it. You just might receive it. Again, we look at that in a negative connotation, but it's not always negative. It's positive. It's spiritual. It's holy. It's right. It's good. But notice, according to the power, the ability that works in who, according to the text? Who? In us. So in this prayer to the Father, and I know because he said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here we see that Paul is very appreciative of the great mystery, if we can say it that way. He's very appreciative. And that reminds me of what Paul said in Colossians 3. And let's look at verse number 15. We go to verse 16 often because of singing. But Paul says something in verse 15 that I often overlook and need to be reminded of. In verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule, literally umpire in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Be thankful. You know, we ought to be thankful we're members of the Church of Christ. And we have brethren left and right. They're afraid and even ashamed to even say the phrase Church of Christ. We shouldn't be. God did all of that work for this great mystery for us to have the Church of Christ that we're members of. We should not be ashamed of it. We ought to be very thankful for it. And we ought to be praying for boldness that we speak up for the Lord's church, for his people, for the truth. And so I'm going to ask Brother Scott to come and give thanks to the God of heaven for us that we're members of the Church of Christ. And hopefully 9th and Main will always have that spirit that we're thankful to be members of Jesus' church, not denominationalism. Brethren, we ought to be thankful we're members of the Church of Christ.
Let's pray. Our most holy and loving and gracious Father above, we're so thankful that we can approach you tonight. Offer our prayers and our thoughts, our supplications, our concerns, and our wishes to you. Especially at this time, we like to express as a congregation here our thanks for the church, for the unity in Christ Jesus that he died for and whose purpose it is to glorify you. We pray that we don't forget our eternal purpose, as you would say, which is to express your manifold wisdom to the world, both on earth and in heaven. And we're so thankful that we have an eternal purpose for the foundations of the world that was set into place through Christ. We pray that as we move into the next year that that we remain thankful as a congregation for the strength that lies here, and that we are not negligent or arrogant or neglectful of what we have here, but help us to maintain and to continue to grow. We pray that you would be with us as we try to prepare our hearts to seek your law and to do it and to teach your statutes and ordinances as we go. Help us to go and help us to speak with boldness and clarity that comes through the manifold wisdom of the word that has been revealed to us, and help us to reveal it to others as it has been revealed. We're so thankful for you and for your wisdom, for the church, for the unity. We pray that we would not be ashamed or bashful to remind and to inform people about the truth. Help us to be for the truth, because we know that nothing can be against it. We love you, God. We're thankful for Christ and the Spirit and the unity that the Godhead has, that we know that we can also be unified if we are obedient. Help us to be obedient. Help us to have the hearts that submit to you and sacrifice while we're here on earth so that we can
enjoy eternity with you. We pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Does anyone have any prayer requests? Anyone? Yes, sir.
You were, you
that's fine.
For the coming of 1923.
Yes, sir.
Yes. We pray for what's coming in this next.
Yes, sir. Pray for what's coming in 2023. Yes, sir.
Things are getting so bad. We need some help. And we ask the Lord to help us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Can I say a prayer for me for boldness as well, and that I can just stay focused and don't be so distracted by the things in the world?
Yes.
Prayer for patience and continue to allow God's word to pattern my life. Also, humility. Always ask
humility. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, Leon.
Prayer to have God's will on our lives. Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
Not to worry about things that I can't change. And what, you know, what we're going through, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes.
I think focus and self-control. Diligence.
Yes, sir.
Local evangelistic efforts for the Angel of Bible study.
Anyone else? Brother Mark, you mind coming praying for those who have asked for special prayer? And who has closing prayer? All right. Brother Paul, you can close us out after Brother Mark. Pray for these in the prayer requests. The Bible teaches us that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a powerful concept. And when Paul penned that, I often wonder if he understood the magnitude of that. Because sometimes I wonder if we do. In everything give thanks. And so we want to be thankful.
Be bow me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I'm so grateful to make it to another Lord's Day on a Sunday. So thankful for 9th of May and for your church. We're so grateful to be here to fellowship with our friends and family. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to make it to another year and to be alive in this very moment. Pray that we never take these for granted and that we can be humble in everyday life. Father, we want to come to you once more, asking for your will to be imposed on us, praying for those who ask for prayer requests, and pray that for those who didn't say anything and they have something on their mind that we can reach out and pray for them and be on their behalf, Lord. We're so thankful for everyone here and for Brother Mike challenging us and encouraging us to do better in the Word and to be our best selves, Lord, and we give glory to you. Father, please pray for Sister Olivia and Brother Tobias and that they may be focused and to continue to help the congregation grow and to be better Christians, and pray that we can be there for them. We want to pray for Brother Leon and pray that he's striving to be better every day and that that he knows that he encourages us because he's so young and he's willing to speak up and to help us be better, Lord. I want to pray for Sister Wood or the Woods and everything they're going through and know that we're here with them in each and every way, and we'll be praying for them on their behalf when we can. Pray that we can do everything we can with our lives and our funds to help their situation be better, Lord. We're so thankful for Brother Scott for reaching out and stepping up, and pray that he may be focused and attainable. Pray that he reaches goals, and we're so thankful for him for stepping up and going to El Dorado and helping them out when they're in need, and it's a great encouragement to all of us, Lord, to be better. We want to pray for Brother Peyton as he's helping out with Angelo Bible study, and we're so grateful for him and the things he's doing out here in San Angelo. I personally don't know how far his reach is, but we pray that it touches both ends of the world, Lord, and we're so thankful for him and taking that time to do that. Pray that we tune in and step up in our everyday lives to help that that support for him, Lord. Once again, we're so thankful for your son, and pray that everyone's needs have been met and we can help out in any way that we can, Lord. Thank you for sending down the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.